My friend Dave England, financial educator, joining me this morning. We had earlier scheduled Senator Dick Durbin to join us this time. We've had to move that with a schedule change to the beginning of next week. At least we hope that's the case. We're still working on the details there. So, David, thanks for pinch hitting for me today.
My pleasure, Tom.
Whiplash on the stock market, is that an inappropriate term?
No, it's very appropriate. You know, one of the things, if we take step back and take a look at this, and that's what we do. We take a common sense, calm heads approach to the market. We had a heck of a 35% pullback in less than a month in February. And since then, we've had one heck of a rally led by the NASDAQ, which when we take a look at the rally from that April 23rd low, man, the NASDAQ's up 52%. And that's 4 months.
Setting records.
You saw that, Tom.
Literally setting records.
Yes, sir. Yes, but we know that eventually when that has ran so much, profit-taking will hit.
All right. Now, here's the thing. There are two numbers that seem to be giving us whiplash. COVID testing numbers and job numbers.
Yes. That's always a problem to try and get our head around. Let me just say this. If it is known about COVID, it's already priced into the market. The market, and this is one of the things that I used to teach in my seminars and classes, and the market is a forward-looking vehicle. It's looking where the economy, the overall economy, not the Main Street economy, but the overall United States economy is going to be 6 months to 9 months out. So that is how the pricing works. But Tom, let me also say this. With COVID, we're going to be into many, many different industries that's going to be doing a major repricing.
Can you give me an example?
Education.
Oh.
Education, tuition has been one of the largest runaway costs for Americans, students, and families in the last 10 years. So you just watch education and the price of tuition. You know, Adam Smith told us years ago, as before your time and mine, we have the invisible hand of business. Well, this runaway cost with college and university tuition, it's doing a self-correcting. By the way, it started a year and a half ago. COVID is just going to expedite it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was either Princeton or Harvard announced on Tuesday, I think Princeton, that they were cutting their tuition by 10% in costs.
God bless them.
I thought that was interesting. You know what? You know, while we're talking about things that happened to surprise me, because you talk about wrapping your mind around something, around my value, when I know how big Toyota is, that Tesla has a higher value in the stock market, that this is the most valued automobile company. You talked about forward-looking, but still the immensity of Toyota and what it does every day. I mean, I can walk out, I can look out the door and see a Toyota come by, right? But I won't see a Tesla. I mean, I don't understand it, really, to be honest with you.
Well, what that's based on is they take it's called market cap. They take the price of the shares, which Tesla is a whole lot more expensive than Toyota, and how many shares have been issued. So it doesn't, the amount of sales, dealerships, or none of that stuff, that is all based on the market capitalization, how many shares have been issued, and the price of the shares, and that's where they come up with that conclusion.
At what point should somebody say, okay, all right, I'm going to go look at my 401k now. Are we there yet?
Well, you should be looking at that, not daily, but you should most definitely be looking at that on a weekly or, more important, a monthly basis. But not only the results of that, because we don't make our decision on our retirement plans on a weekly, daily basis. We're taking a look at, do we tweak our strategies? And on our 401ks and retirement plans, they must be a long-term strategy. Unfortunately, Tom, so many people have drank the Wall Street Kool-Aid and just have their strategy on price appreciation. Well, if they do that, then it's going to be a constant whiplash.
Well,
what you need to be focusing on are funds, high dividend plays, be diversified, and let those companies or funds buy you more shares. And the true way to wealth is through share growth, and not just price appreciation.
So yesterday afternoon, I've been, for the last 3 days, been listening to a lot of Charlie Daniels.
Me too.
You remember the song Legend of the Woolly Swamp?
Oh, yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, and many others.
And you'll remember these thugs come in to steal this guy's money, and they catch him in the backyard with mason jars that he's been digging up, mm-hmm. where he keeps all of his money. right? And I can't help but think right now somebody is thinking, you know, rather than have constant whiplash, why don't I just get me some mason jars and a shovel?
Well, the problem with that is that down the road you may forget exactly where you dug the hole.
Well, let's say I have a good memory then. How's that?
But Tom, we don't bury our talents. I read a good book one time that included a story about that. We got to make sure that it's working for us. But with that being said, the closer we are to retirement, the more we must focus on a return of our money instead of on our money. And that's the problem that we have. We have so many people that drank the Wall Street Kool-Aid, and their portfolio has not gone up in value, but their expenses have, and they're getting closer to retirement, and they have this imaginary number what they have to make. So they aren't anywhere near that number, and they have to put more risk on the table. So we must always be having our money work for us in one way or the other.
Dave, I know you listen every day, and thank you for it, too, by the way. But I know you heard Robert's report this week about how much money is being spent in marijuana stores in Illinois. Is that an opportunity?
It is, Tom, but there's got to be selective opportunity, because there's not a person listening today that hasn't seen just countless emails about cannabis stocks. But remember,
yeah,
it's still illegal federally. And we aren't going to get in on the ethics issue. We beat that horse to death. But there are some selected securities in that cannabis industry that the big money, the institutions are buying. But it has been probably the biggest abyss, or one of them, of people just saying, oh, well, fundamentally it's going to explode. I'm just going to go buy some cannabis stocks. And they're down dramatically.
You just said something that caught my attention, because you always do in one way or another brush up against this. Watch the big money. So the big money's saying, nah, I'm not so sure yet. And because of that federal aspect, so until big money gets interested in marijuana sticks, stocks, be leery?
Well, be very leery, because they cannot. Let's just say the people that open up their mutual funds and see what's in it. Keep in mind, you only get to see what's in it four times a year compared to an exchange-traded fund. You can see what's in it daily. But those fund managers can't have federally illegal companies in their portfolios.
I see.
It's that simple. But eventually that is going to change. But now that doesn't mean there's not some good plays out there, Tom, and we've discussed one or two of them in the last few years.
Well, my first thought is, when you said that, if the big boys can't or won't because of that intimidation factor for federal government, and you can't have it in your portfolio, then since they're blocked out, isn't this the opportunity of a lifetime? Because, well, people are going to buy pot when they can. And here's the other thing. I mean, you talk to a mayor and you say, well, you know, we've had a store here open since January and it made $2 million. Well, it didn't make $2 million. It brought in $2 million because there's overhead here and there's more opportunities growing. And I just, you know, because there is the moral implication as well. But I still, for some people, they're looking for an opportunity to make things right after losses, and thinking about their retirement, thinking, well, all right, well, I guess if everybody else is going to.
Tom, just because there's more money flowing into a company or to an industry does not mean that it's profitable. Look at all the extra fees that these, like what was formerly known as the harboring on the growers, anybody that's in these, look at the extra fees they're having to pay just to be able to get into business.
Yeah.
Now, down the road, those fees, whenever we have competition, will come down. But are those companies now, are those places legal because of the ethics behind it, or because the state wants to take advantage of the tax dollars that's available? I think we kind of know the answer to that.
Well, it's interesting you said that, because when I was looking, you know, they put the new Chicago casino paperwork together, and that's being forward. And on the slot machines, there is a sliding tax of 22-74 on their net. And I'm thinking, why would I want to invest when there's so many variables on what is one of the most lucrative things? People put money in the machine, right? But the state says, no, we're going to get our bite first. And it could be as large as 77% of the intake is taken as taxes. So are casinos a good thing to invest in? That kind of scares me. I mean, how can we make selling marijuana and gambling unprofitable? Well, do it in Illinois.
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head on that, Tom. And can I throw a recommendation? Or not a recommendation, but can I throw something in?
Please do.
Okay, years ago, or within last year, during our conversations, which I always look forward to, I talked about one of the securities that I'm watching is a company in the breathalyzer business.
imagine how many police departments, local, state, and how many places will be mandated to buy breathalyzer equipment to detect cannabis in the system. But the problem is it's a very, very tricky process. One of the companies that I follow, and by the way, full disclosure, I don't own it today at 7:33 on July the 9th, but it's, the symbol is BLOZF, and it's Cannabis Technologies, trading over the counter. This is not a buy recommendation. It's a watch recommendation. Whenever BLOZF gets the technology, and they're one of the industry leaders, think of the mandated businesses that's going to come to the first company that perfects that technology. Because take a look at it from the dollar side, like you've been discussing, Tom. Look at how many dollars can be generated by police officers, by the police departments, and much-needed funds by the fines and the penalties that could come from driving while intoxicated or driving while it's hot, while people are high.